going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Making Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Making Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going?
It's going great. I had my first day off in about 3 months. So maybe like 2 months. I don't know. Now it's like it's closer to 3 months than 2 months. So yeah, it's been a great day today. Very.
How did you celebrate then? I see you're celebrating by.
Oh shit!
I just like that.
Just that's... a piece of gum. I don't know what you're talking about.
What a way to kick off the show!
Yeah, caught me off guard. I was ready to pop it, and then.
I did the thing that I never do right off the bat of the show and ask how you doing. You know, I've never done that before to begin an episode of Jungle Juice ever. So yeah, you must be doing pretty good. I just like that. Like I just got back. I went for a quick walk around my neighborhood and I like that. This is just a really perfect temperature, at least where I am. We're like 66, 67 degrees, the sun. So it's nice. If you're walking in the sun, it's nice and toasty. But if you're outside, if you're in the shade, it's kind of cool. It's just really nice.
I had a pleasant nice walk weekend. With Rory today. It was pretty, it was a little chilly. It was like 60, but I'll take it.
Yeah, it's better than 20 without question. Even though 20 usually does mean Bengals football sometimes. We'll at least get one game maybe in the 20s. But okay, enough about the weather because we're old and we have to talk about the weather, right? And walks and so on. On today's show, we are going to update a couple quick headlines. The Bengals made a signing today. We'll mention that. Groundbreaking stuff from that free agency signing. I mean, just like I'm honestly surprised.
Yeah, we did talk about Logan Woodside coming back.
We did. We'll talk about Logan Woodside here in a few minutes.
Before that news was broken.
Yeah.
Before we even knew it was going to happen.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic, he released his 7-round mock draft. We're going to go over the Bengals picks. We're not really going to spend a lot of time on them. I'm going to list them off, and I'm just going to ask Mick, yay or nay, if this is the Bengals pick, I think is the best way to put it. And some of these guys you might not know, some of these guys you might know, and we'll go from there on that. We invite you, though, to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. Give us a 5-star rating that way. We're also on all of your social media, you know, Facebook, YouTube. We're technically on Twitter. We're not on Instagram. I don't think we have a TikTok, unless you've made one. Have you?
No.
Yeah. So we're not. Okay. Logan Woodside has signed to the Bengals. I mentioned this on Sunday as I said that I felt like the Bengals were going to maybe get an undrafted quarterback. I still don't think that's out of the question by any stretch.
I don't think
they're probably
going
to have somebody
to go in there and compete with Woodside. Usually have four guys going in the training camp, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, listen, Logan Woodside is not a guy that you probably want as your backup quarterback. But I think it would be really good to get a guy that can go in and compete with Logan Woodside to be that third string guy on the practice squad and potentially be the number two guy next year when Jake Browning might move on and get paid more somewhere else. So I think that Logan Woodside, you know, it's a fine signing. I can't imagine they're paying him really anything at all. So congrats. Welcome back, Logan Woodside.
Yeah. Who else is going to throw Jermaine Burton touchdowns in the preseason?
You think Jermaine Burton's going to make it to the preseason? Interesting. He's not going to do something stupid between now and then.
I was going to say he's already made it this far. So, I mean, what's a couple months going to do, you know?
Right. Hooday, Frank. Appreciate you for joining us as always. Okay. So there you go. There's your Bengals news of the week and the big signing. Groundbreaking stuff from the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay. Dane Brugler. Earlier today, he is the Athletic's draft guru. He does The Beast, which if you subscribe to The Athletic, The Beast is fantastic. I love it. I spend probably really too much time into that. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, it's almost worth the whatever it is a year to pay your Athletic subscription just for The Beast. If you're a fan of the draft, like if you love getting in there, because it's got a lot of info that we're going to be bringing you throughout today. But because of that, he is as knowledgeable in the NFL draft as anybody. You know, he is up there with all of your top level draft guys, your Kuipers, your Jeremiah's, your guy from PFF who's named Monson. And then, well, you know, he's not at PFF anymore, but
33rd team. But yes. Trevor Sycamore's at PFF.
That's the one I was thinking of, but he's up there with all of them.
Mike Renner. That's another good one.
Here is his 7-round mock draft for the Bengals. So technically it's only 6. So he didn't really throw any trades in here. First round, and I'm just asking you right now, Mick, yay or nay, the Bengals make this pick. Okay. Derek Harmon.
Nay.
Second round, guy we talked about on Sunday, Landon Jackson.
Yay.
I like that pick a lot.
Yay. The only part I don't like is that I'm not sure if he's necessarily a scheme fit. It's like Chris Jenkins Jr., where I think he'd be playing out of position on the defense.
Third round, Miles Frazier, guard from LSU. He's a guy that we talked about
Nay. Ooh, I have him really down far. Yeah, I have him down on my board.
I like Miles Frazier. I think he fits scheme wise too, being a pass first guy.
He's at 336 on my board, my personal board.
Wow. Okay.
Let me see what's dragging that down.
Fourth round, while you're doing that, is
run blocking grade's really bad. That's why.
And I don't know how much that entirely matters on the Bengals in that stretch. Fourth round, Trevor Etienne, running back from Georgia.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Fifth round, Barrett Carter, linebacker from Clemson. And then in the sixth round.
Oh, that's a steal. Barrett Carter.
In the sixth round, they go with Sebastian Castro, a safety from Iowa.
He's a nickelback. Yeah, I'm down with Sebastian Castro.
So there you go. That's Dane Brugler's mock draft. So if this was the draft, you would feel relatively good?
Yeah, I'd feel
meh.
Feel okay about it.
Well, we'll have to see how it ends up turning out. Okay, let's waste no more time and let's dive in. So today's show, we're all in day 3 of the NFL draft. This is for your, if you're a draft nerd of draft nerds, this is the way to go in, because this is
really show and tell for us, because we don't know how much over, we might not have really any overlap at all.
Yeah, because I mean, there's only what, like 300 prospects that potentially could be drafted on day 3 of the NFL draft.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, we're saying, well, the draft pool is probably like 400 guys. We both got 25 to 30 guys here.
And the funniest part, the funniest part about it too, is the Bengals only have 3 picks in this stretch. So we're trying to pick 3 out of 300 is pretty much the best way to describe it. So to go through some Bengals history as far as the pick, and I got some fun names here for you. I always like doing this. Bengals will pick 119th. Last time they picked 119th. Here's a name for you. Remember Eric Gajcek?
Oh, I do remember Eric Gajcek.
I just love that. What a name. And then in 1984, they drafted Barney Bussey, a defensive back from South Carolina.
That's the 100.
153rd pick was in 2017. Not that far long ago. Do you remember who that was?
Round pick 2017. No effing clue.
How about Bengals legend and Super Bowl champion Jake Elliott? In 2005, Adam Kieft, who is a tackle from Central Michigan, was taken with 153rd pick. I have a connection to Adam Kieft. You probably don't even remember that name.
No.
Because he never played for the Bengals. I was at the training camp practice down at Georgetown College where he completely blew out his knee and never played again.
Oh.
In 2005. I remember that vividly, being there that day. And then in 1974, Bill Bryant, going to the 193rd pick, which is the Bengals' sixth-round pick. In 2017, Jordan Evans.
Okay.
What, I mean, listen, that's...
He's the linebacker out of Oklahoma, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
In 2006, a quarterback from Texas A&M, and this was a guy that I completely forgot about. Do you remember Reggie McNeil?
I remember the name, but I do. Yes. I cannot remember him playing.
He only played very, very little for the Bengals. James Griffin in 1983 from MTSU. Dan Bass, a guard from Elon in 1974. And then Harry Gunner, a defensive end from Oregon State in the early 70s. So that's the draft history for the Bengals, at least picking so where
Sam,
they are this
Sam's
year.
Sam's the Sam cursed Adam Kieft. So that's cool.
Yeah, the Adam poor Kieft. Guy. Yeah, poor guy. Yeah. I wonder what he's up to now. I mean, he's only 40 years old probably now. Okay, quarterback. We're going to start here, and we're just going to go through some names. Quarterback, I don't think this is. In fact, I'm not even saying day three, guys. I'm just going to throw two undrafted names that okay. I think you could see the Bengals going for. One I feel better about, and then one I found interesting. Guy by the name of Brady Cook, I think, fits the Bengals pretty well. He would be an undrafted free agent, three-time team captain at Missouri. He's passed for over 9,000 yards in college, 49 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and rushed for over 1,200 yards. He is kind of in that Jake Browning realm as far as a quarterback prospect. I know one of the knocks on him is that he is, at times, panics with the football and doesn't really know what to do with it. So, but, I mean, listen, if he was that great, he would be an undrafted free agent. He's a guy that you're bringing in there to throw, you know, and maybe he develops into something, kind of like a Jake Browning. So Brady Cook. The other guy, though, and it's a guy that, I'll be honest with you, until about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'd never heard this guy's name. Do you know the name Tommy Mellott?
Is he related to one of my bosses?
Does your boss go to Montana State ever?
I don't think that there's any relation. No,
I can't.
No, the stats are pretty crazy with Tommy Mellott, though. 31 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's pretty
with
good.
Tommy Mellott, though, is he's a top 30 visit with the Bengals.
Okay.
Which is intriguing for an undrafted free agent quarterback. Just make a mental note.
He might be more
of
the Jake Browning kind of guy. He's a little bit smaller, 6 feet, 208 pounds, 94 run grade. Ooh, what are the rushing stats? Let's take a look.
Interesting with Tommy Mellott there. So those are just
1,000 yards rushing, 15 touchdowns rushing.
In his career?
Oh, no, in 2024, year. 43 total rushing touchdowns. So he's an athlete.
Interesting. I like that, though. So I don't know. That both these guys, though, would be undrafted, without question. Okay, let's jump into some running backs here. I know you split yours a little bit differently, but you can pull the guys when you want it. You can mention what round they would be mentioned in. Do you want to drop your first running back prospect for the Bengals? Because I think it is pretty likely that they'll walk away on day three with a running back.
Yeah. So the first one, I believe he had a top 30 visit with the Bengals. That's Bashel Tootin, running back out of Virginia Tech. I think he was
most fast.
He had one of the most noteworthy combines out of pretty much any other prospect in the draft. He's on the freaks list. His tape really, really jumped out. Numbers that I have here, he's 6.3 yards per attempt, 15 rushing touchdowns last year. 80.7 run grade, which would have been in the 90s if it weren't for the fumbling issues that he had the past couple of years. He's had 9 fumbles over the past 2 years. But a 13th in yards after contact, 4.4 yards after contact is the average. He's 15th in breakaway yardage rate in all of college football. The receiving numbers aren't great. 60.9 receiving grade. Caught 23 catches on 27 targets, 81 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Second team all ACC last year. Missed one game with a left ankle injury. Also has some returning experience, which is no coincidence given the athletic profile that he has. And also I found out that his father is a former sprinter and his mother was a record-breaking 110-meter hurdler in high school. So definitely
it doesn't surprise
very
you if this guy runs
family.
A, yeah, it doesn't surprise no. you this guy runs a 4.32. Like, no. It's in his blood. Like I mean, that's fast. And if you want to add speed, more speed to the Bengals offense, there you go. Tootin is absolutely your guy. He's fourth round, almost assuredly. Potentially even a third round guy. You know that you're kind of seeing. He's kind of in that window of is he a late third? Is he an early fourth or late fourth? And it'll be interesting because I think the lack of the pass catching with that speed, I think, is a little question mark. But yet zero drops when he was targeted, so yeah. He's at least pulling them in. My first guy here is a guy that the Bengals interviewed at the combine. So again, it's those same things of the Bengals like to go to guys that they have had contact with, and is from Rutgers and Kyle Munga guy, who is from Cameroon, which interesting. Okay, I don't. There have probably never been a player from Cameroon to play in the NFL. He rushed for over 1,200 yards in each of the last two seasons and was a team captain both of those years from Rutgers. I like this. Matt Rhule, who's the head coach at Nebraska, legendary Carolina Panthers head coach. He nicknamed him the Matrix for his ability to run between the tackles because he said it's uncanny the way he can get through there sometimes. Big thing with him. Zero career fumbles, holds on to the ball when he's running it. Now, he's maybe, you know, not the elite of elite athletes.
Yeah, doesn't seem like a very explosive runner if I'm looking at the numbers here.
No, I mean, he only runs a 4.6, which is on the slow end of which, I mean, especially when you're comparing him to Tootin. But listen, the Matrix is a way to describe this, but I mean, zero career fumbles on over 700 offensive touches. That's pretty good. Yep. Twice voted a team captain. And then also, he was voted as the best dancer in the locker room. Doesn't that mean something?
That's an end zone celebration thing. So, yeah. I mean, I think we need that.
I found it interesting, though, with him. Do you have another guy, or you want me to just stay in the Big Ten with another one here?
Yeah, I mean, you go ahead, and I'll drop my next one.
Khalil Mullings, interesting running back from Michigan. And why I say interesting is because he's kind of a project as a running back. For one, he transitioned in college from playing linebacker to running back. You don't see that transition happening. They describe his mentality as a runner as a bulldozer. He's going to run you over, which
he's
is
a big
something
guy.
I think the Bengals will potentially need. Do you have his size numbers in front of you? I didn't write
those
down.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 233 pounds.
That's a big running back in the NFL.
That's a big guy.
Big stat here for you. In the fourth quarter this year for Michigan, he averaged 5.7 yards per carry. He was put in to close out games. Would argue that's something that the Bengals could use in there when they have a lead in some of these. They've struggled to put teams away because they haven't been able to efficiently run the ball. Maybe this guy could be somebody that can help with this. Did not fumble. I know they describe him as a guy with elite character, but another aspect with this, and I think it's going to be something that the Bengals are going to be looking for when you're drafting a day three running back, is I think Darren Simmons, special teams coordinator, is going to have a conversation or at least part of it in on this because you want this guy to be able to perform on special teams as well. And Mullings has a lot of special teams experience, and that probably helps a lot and stems a lot from his experience as a linebacker.
Well said.
Who's your next guy? Running back-wise.
We're going to go with Damian Martinez, running back out of Oregon State. First team all Pac-12 in 2023 before the last year that the Pac-12 was really around.
May it rest
he's
in peace.
He's been described as a bruiser, so definitely a change of pace from what Chase Brown offers. Takes a lot of contact and does a great job of covering up the football. Zero fumbles in 2024. One downside to Damian Martinez, he doesn't have he didn't play any special teams in college, which, you know, if you're drafted somebody in these later rounds, you probably want somebody with some special teams experience. But the stats, 1,006 rushing yards last year, averaged 6.3 yards per attempt, had 10 touchdowns, also caught 17 of 21 passes for 203 yards, ranked number three in run grade from PFF, ranked eighth in yards after contact, 4.51 yards after contact. His breakaway yardage percentage is decent in the top half of the league, 37.4%, and the receiving grade isn't great, to 63 receiving grade.
Pass blocking is a big thing he's good at. I know at the Senior Bowl, he was regarded as the best pass blocker.
Yeah.
So Joe Burrow, that's going to check off a Joe Burrow box.
Yes, it is.
The next guy I'm more mentioning just because I think we have to mention him. And that's Corey Kiner. I don't really know that it's a fit for the Bengals, but he is a local guy. You know, went to UC, went to Roger
Bacon. He's also had some contact with the Bengals as well.
Yes, probably at their local day and so on. He's not very big, 5'8", but he did rank fourth in the FBS last season with 82 missed tackles forced. That's a lot. Now, the downside to him is not a great pass blocker, and not really a ton of experience as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And that's what kind of raises some red flags as far as to whether he will actually be a target legitimately for the Cincinnati Bengals. As right on cue, I say Corey Kiner, and Riley just appears out of thin air. It's just like, you know, it's like if I said Danny Stutzman three times, he'd appear, and Corey Kiner will be another guy that will probably make him appear as well. I just don't think it's a fit for the Bengals, but I did want to at least mention his name.
Yeah, there is a lot to like about Corey Kiner, too. I mean, the yards after contact numbers are elite. 4.12 yards after contact average, that's really good. A really good breakaway percentage, too. 45.9% of his rushing yards were breakaway yards in 2024, which was a huge jump from what he had in 2023 in years prior, in both of those categories, really. The one issue I do have with Corey Kiner is he did have three fumbles in 2024. Which is a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. It's a red flag. Doesn't have really any special teams experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've both just mentioned, that's important. Riley says Kiner's pass blocking is a little underrated. He was dealing with a terrible offensive line in front of him. Throws his body on the line for the quarterback. And part of that probably is that he's 5'8". Like 5'8" isn't going to block an elite edge rusher very easily because they have six to seven, if not even 8 inches on him.
Yeah.
Who's next up? I got one more running back to list. And more, yeah, I got just a guy that I really want to talk about.
My next one is Devin Neal, running back out of Kansas. 2024 is an honorable mention, all Big 12. He led the team in rushing, and he was also a team captain. He has been described by his high school and college coaches as being an unbelievable person. He toughs out minor injuries. He played in a combined 49 of 50 games for the past four seasons. He does have very little special teams experience, but the rushing stats are really good. 1,262 yards, 5.8 yards per attempt, 16 touchdowns, caught 26 of 32 passes for 266 yards and one receiving touchdown. He ranked 10th in all of college football in run grade. Decent breakaway yard percentage at 37.1%. That's in the top half of college football. And his receiving grade's a little bit better than the other guys I mentioned in Martinez and in Tootin. He has a 65.8 receiving grade, which is decent.
Remember last year in the draft, I the guy I really enjoyed watching, he really didn't do anything with the Raiders, was my guy Dylan Lauby from New Hampshire. So I wanted to find another.
Who's FCS your Dylan Lauby this year?
Let's go to a guy by the name of Marcus Yarns.
Okay. Delaware.
Running back from Delaware. This to me is the Bengals trade back at some point, pick up a seventh round pick. This is the Marcus Yarns pick. And maybe it is the Bengals don't draft another running back and they need one in the seventh, and this is the guy that they go at. With Marcus Yarns, the first thing we want to look at when you're looking at an FCS guy is, okay, how did he do against when he played the FBS teams? And he did well. He had a 66-yard touchdown against Penn State. Averaged 6.4 yards per carry in his career at Delaware. But in the passing game, he can be a problem. Caught 64 passes for 812 yards and 11 touchdowns in his college career there for the Delaware Blue Hens. So
five touchdowns last year as well.
He's
in that 11 touchdown mark.
He's a lot of fun. Again, that's a seventh round pick. If the Bengals even pick up a seventh rounder, which I think we both think that they probably will, or maybe a late sixth, depending on how they want to trade back. If then maybe they don't, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's the guy that I like my FCS guy that I kind of jump on the table for, and he's my guy for that.
Yeah, and his pass blocking grades aren't terrible. He had a 61.2 pass block grade, which I've definitely seen worse. And that's kind of impressive given what his build is like, too. He's 5'11", 183 pounds. So when you got guys coming at him that are presumably a little bit bigger than him, that's not a terrible mark to have as a pass blocking grade.
And listen, I got to cheer out for the FCS guys. I like those small school. You got one more running back?
I am out of running backs.
Okay. So how about some wide receivers now?
Okay.
I wrote down more wide receivers than I probably should have, because I don't know that a wide receiver is likely. It's nowhere near as small of a chance as a quarterback, obviously, as the Bengals drafting. But I mean, what are we saying? 10% chance the Bengals walk away with a wide receiver?
I'd say greater than that. I think it's probably a 60% chance.
Oh, I think that's way too high. Interesting. Okay, so we have two very different philosophies when it comes to that. Okay, well then, let's talk through some of those guys. I'll let you drop the first one.
Yeah, so one that I really like, and he'd be a fourth-round pick potentially, that's Torrey Horton, the wide receiver out of Colorado State. In 2023, he had an elite season with the Rams. First team All-Mountain West. As a wide receiver, and he was second team All Mountain West as a punt returner, had a 79-yard punt return touchdown, and also had a 30-yard touchdown pass. Was also made a team captain in both 2023 and 2024. He missed the final seven games of 2024 with a right knee injury. So I think that's kind of hampered his draft stock a little bit, because he was projected to be, I think, a late second, early third round pick. Up until that point. But yeah, the speed really shows on the field for Torrey Horton. He's a very shifty guy. His juke move was lethal on the tape that I was watching from him. Kind of reminds me a little bit of an Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now he's not primarily a slot receiver, but he did have 35.3% of his snaps coming from the slot. So I think he lines up pretty much everywhere on the football field. He is a little bit skinnier, but I think he plays well within his frame. He stayed pretty durable up until that knee injury that happened last year. But in 2023, just the numbers that statistically, 96 of 134 targets caught. So he was a high volume receiver, a little over 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Ranked 16th in all of college football in receiving grade. Had really good yak numbers, averaged 6.0 yards after catch, and also a really good drop rate. Only 4% of his targets were dropped. So I think that's a pretty good mark.
Yeah, that knee injury is just the question. Where is it in the recovery process? Ty Felton is the first one I want to go to, who is a wide receiver from Maryland. Last year, third-team All-American. 96 catches for 1,124 yards and 9 touchdowns. That'll get it done. Now with him, drops are a concern. He had 8 of them last season, and that is a concern. But 4.37 speed, special teams experience, and last year forced 26 missed tackles. For a wide receiver, that's a lot. you know, because you're not getting as much opportunity to break tackles as maybe like a running back in there. But Ty Felton, I mean, listen, if you're a third team All-American and still have 8 drops, now that's probably what's keeping him from maybe being a second team guy. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy kind of in those middle rounds that you could at least keep an eye on for the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree. Receiving numbers were really good last year. He really took a big jump compared to what he was doing in 2023. My next guy here, I think I would call him Brian Thomas Jr. Light, or really just Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
You really don't like him right now then? Because you really didn't like Brian Thomas last year.
I think if for a guy that's projected to go in, I think the 5th round or the 4th round, I think I'd take it. But that's Dante Thornton, the wide receiver out of Tennessee. In 2024, he led the FBS in yards after catch, 10.7 yards after catch average, which is insane. He was pretty much an exclusive down the field wide receiver, pretty much ran a lot of go routes, but just ran literally past everybody once he had the ball in his hands. The volume isn't crazy. He only caught 26 passes of 34 attempts thrown his way for 662 yards, though, and 6 touchdowns. So, I mean, that's well over 20 yards per catch, 80.6 receiving grade. The drop rate is a little concerning. It's about a 7.1% drop rate. So I think a little bit on par with what Ty Felton had. The only issue is he doesn't play a lot of slot. He's pretty much exclusively an outside wide receiver. But he didn't miss any games in 2024 as well. And then also just given what his speed and his length is, I think he hasn't had any really returning experience, but I think he's a guy that they could plug in to be a returner if he's on the team.
Yeah, if you run 4.3, they're going to find a way to put you on the field.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to put you on the field. Pat Bryant, he is a receiver from Illinois. Why I'm mentioning him? He checks the box of a Bengals combine interview. So they've talked to him. Now, again, we've mentioned this, that these are things that the Bengals like to do. You know, they're going to their notes and so on. We mentioned, were we just talking about some of the red flags with Felton and then also with Thornton drops? Yeah, Pat Bryant doesn't drop the ball, like, at all. Last year, 78 targets, 1 drop. 1. That's elite. Team captain as well. 78% of his touches a year ago resulted in either a first down or a touchdown. This is Pat Bryant, the receiver out of Illinois. He had 54 catches, 984 yards last year, 10 touchdowns. Second team, all Big Ten, led the team in receiving.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get 1 line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Just opted out of the bowl game as well. So Pat Bryant is a name to watch. He's not a guy that's going to burn you with speed by any stretch.
No, only a 4.6 2 speed grade, but the explosion numbers were really good. The vertical, 37.5 inch vertical. That's an 8.53 RAS score, broad jump. I don't know how they read 1004. Is that 10 feet, 4 inches?
Yes.
Okay. That's an 8.01 RES score. So his total RES score is an 8.17 score.
Without being fast. Like, without being elite fast, which is impressive.
Yeah. He would be an X wide receiver as well. The contested catch rate is actually pretty good, too. 69.2% of contested throws that were thrown his way, he ended up landing. So that's pretty good. Also, 140.8 passer rating while targeted is a good number as well.
The next guy I wanted to drop here is what I refer to as the receiver version of Harold Fannin Jr., aka meaning he is their offense. Do you know who I'm meaning now? At least somebody I just wanted to talk about him is Nick Nash.
Yes. Okay. Slot receiver, San Jose State.
I mean, last year, he had an okay season, Nick. I mean, 104 catches, 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns. Just casual numbers, right? Bengals had a combine interview with him. Okay. Mention it there. He is, though, a slot. Like, he is probably
he's
not
also really freaking old. He's almost as old as us. He's still, yeah. he turns 26 in July.
Yeah. He's That's... old. That's old. Not a burner either. 4.57 speed, but he was just their offense. You know, his RES score is a 6.0, which for a wide receiver, that's not great. But the production was there at San Jose State. But I don't know that he fits the Bengals, because I think that they probably want somebody that might have a ton of experience in the slot, but they probably want somebody that can also go outside if needed. And I don't know that Nick Nash can do that.
Is this guy really just how tall is he? Is he really just Charlie
he
Jones?
Is
he
6'2".
Charlie Jones of
he's 6'2".
So he's a Charlie Jones of this draft. Okay, PFF has him at 6'3", 195 pounds.
Yeah, and the Athletic here has him 6'2", 203.
Okay, no, he's taller. He's a taller Charlie Jones.
Yeah, because Charlie Jones is only like 5'10", isn't he?
He's 5'11".
Okay, so he's 5'10". Because, you know, they always got to give you that. They got to give you that extra. They got to give you that extra inch there. So, Raleigh, I don't think it's an area that the Bengals would go to, but at least it's fun to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
I got two more. I don't know how many you have.
I'm out of wide receiver.
Oh, you're out. You're out.
You keep going.
The next guy here is, I almost just had to write him down because, one, I think this is another Riley guy. And in the Athletic, they describe him as tougher than a $2 steak. I like that line. Tougher than a $2 steak.
I like that.
That's Xavier Restrepo, a slot receiver from Miami. Again, kind of fits in that Nick Nash realm. 2.8% drop rate, so he's got really good hands. Passed Reggie Wayne, though, for the most receiving yards in Miami history. If you're being mentioned in the same sentence as a wide receiver as Reggie Wayne,
that's pretty good company.
Yeah, that'll do. With the Athletic and Dane Brugler uses to compare him to, because they sometimes will throw a player comparison. They say Julian Edelman. And I'm just sitting here thinking like,
Julian Edelman's a tough wide receiver too. He's a tough slot guy. So,
and I'm like, could I see Julian Edelman with Joe Burrow? I kind of like that. So at least a name to drop in there, and Xavier Restrepo, probably a fifth or a sixth round guy.
Yeah, really? Is that because the consensus board, I swear, has him as like a third round pick right now?
Really? Because Dane Brugler projects him fifth to sixth. So he is
95th on the consensus.
Really? Board. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's a fourth round pick then. We'll see, though.
Or borderline third. It is good size for a slot wide receiver, too. He's 5'10", 198 pounds, so it's not like he's too slender by any means. Had two really productive years in Miami the past couple of seasons. This past year, posted an 83 grade, 1,127 yards, 11 touchdowns. Like you said, only two drops. I mean, I just don't think I don't know if he's necessarily available, even in the fourth round. Surprised Dane Brugler is as low on him as he is.
Bullish on him, yeah.
Yeah.
The other guy is an interesting special teams wide receiver.
Okay.
It is Ricky White III.
Ooh, UNLV.
From UNLV. For one, he's a semi-local guy. He was born in Dayton, now grew up in Georgia, but at least has a somewhat Cincinnati connection. Wide receiver from UNLV, back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver and a two-time team captain. Here's the wildest part about Ricky White III. He was the special teams player of the year in the Mountain West last season. So what's your probably first thought is that he is what? A returner, right?
He's not.
No. He blocked four punts and returned one of them for a touchdown. And because of that, he got special teams player of the year. I'm fascinated by how many conferences that give out special teams player of the year was not a returner or a kicker or a punter. Like, how many times does that happen that it is somebody just for blocking kicks? He's inside, outside receiver as well.
I'm looking at the numbers right now. He's had a crazy amount of usage at UNLV, over 100 targets in each of the past two seasons, over 1,000 yards in each of the past two seasons. I mean, we're talking about the usage of Nick Nash. I mean, the usage of Ricky White is around the same level as Nick Nash.
Drops are a concern. He had seven of them this past season, five the year before that, nine his first year at UNLV. That's a number, but that's, again, why he's being drafted where he is. Now, the one aspect of him, too, that at least is worth mentioning is that he was suspended for the entirety of the 2021 season when he was at Michigan State. And he sued Michigan State for why he was suspended and ended up leaving. Now, nothing has necessarily leaked as to what the reason was he was suspended. The lawsuit's not been settled or anything like that. But yeah, as Riley says here, not a returner or a gunner as a receiver is crazy. Throwing him inside on punts must be a dog. And that's the thing, too. He's not like, you'd think, okay, is he Auden Tate, where he's just a freak of nature size-wise? No.
No.
6'1", 181.
109. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just an interesting guy. Ricky White III from UNLV.
Got any more wide receivers?
I don't, and I don't have any tight ends.
I don't either.
I just didn't see anybody that...
There's a way higher percentage chance they pick a wide receiver over a tight end, I would think.
I don't disagree. Unless just there's some fall, where Colston Lovegood is available in the... Or Loveland, right? Not Lovegood. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I keep calling him Loveland. Lovegood. Loveland is in the second round or something, to where they just can't pass. I just can't imagine that'll be a scenario. And I only one tackle shifting on to the offensive line. I don't know if you have more.
I have one tackle. I think I only have one tackle as well.
Are you going to the Big Ten?
I am going to the Big Ten, but are
you going to a freak of nature?
No, we're not going to Holland Pierce, but go ahead with Holland
Pierce. Holland Pierce, just because you're talking about Bengals offensive linemen. They love them big. Well, Holland Pierce is big as they get. Tackle from Rutgers, started as a walk-on. When he started at Rutgers, he was 6'8 and over 400 pounds.
That's a big boy.
That is a massive human being. And he's dropped down to 341. Which is still a massive human being, 6'8", 341. But to me, the fact that he starts as a walk-on, loses over 60 pounds to get into playing shape, shows dedication to me.
It does. Also, I'm looking at the grading here. He has gotten much better every single season that he's been in college football. In every metric that you can look at grading-wise, run blocking, pass blocking, doesn't matter. He's been better than the year before.
He's a project, probably, when it comes to the NFL. And he's probably a guy that you tell Scott Peters, new offensive line coach, here you go. Let's see what you're made of. Can you turn this guy into something like that? And he's probably a swing tackle that maybe could develop into, a right tackle or left tackle of the future for the Bengals. He's a fun prospect to look into.
Yeah. The tackle that I have for the Big Ten, he would be more of like a sixth or a seventh round draft pick, I think. That's no relation, but Jack Nelson, the tackle out of Wisconsin, 2024, he was an honorable mention Big Ten. He started 50 games over the past four seasons with time at tackle and guard. So you're seeing some position versatility there. One issue is that he has a combined 32 penalties over four seasons, which is a
That's why I crossed him off. That's why I crossed him off. I remember reading him now.
Had four holding calls in 2024, but the grading is really good. 82.2 pass block grade. Only gave up nine pressures last year, one sack and one QB hit. Also, the run blocking grade was pretty good at a 75.2.
Yeah, the penalties were a major red flag as to why I kind of crossed him off and didn't put him on my list at all. But at some point, though, numbers mean something. You know, and he produces even with some of the penalties, and the hope is probably that the penalties you can teach him out of it, you know. Guard, let's shift on the inside. I've got three here.
I've got and a lot. I've really, got a lot okay. of guards.
Well, I'll let you drop your first name then. Well, I don't think we've had a single overlap yet. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, no, did you not have Tootin on your list?
I didn't. I felt like you would have, so I left him off.
So, I mean, we had an FCS guard mentioned for the day one picks in Gray Zabel. We had another one mentioned out of William and Mary and Charles Grant. So we're going to go with another FCS guard out of Sacramento State, Jackson Slater. Some description from the beast here. Always looking for work and checks competitive toughness box with a Sharpie. If it's in a Sharpie, it's pretty permanent. 2024 first team All-American in the FCC or FCC FCS first team All Big Sky. He did miss the final three games of his 2024 season with a right knee injury. He was one of only five players with at least 30 reps on the bench press at the combine. So the testing numbers kind of check out in that category. Played predominantly left guard, but practiced at all five positions. Also repped at center during the Senior Bowl practices. So you're seeing some position versatility for Jackson Slater. The grading was pretty good. 88.2 pass block grade. Didn't give up a sack in each of the last two seasons, which is pretty impressive. 72.9 run block grade as well. So Jackson Slater is a guy to maybe look at here.
It's not a name that I had on my list. Next one checks a couple of boxes for the Bengals. First one is he has had a top 30 visit. And that is a guy from, I'm going back to Miami, which I think I go to a couple of times today, and that's Jalen Rivers.
Okay.
And the reason I'm putting him on my list is because of that top 30 visit. Played a ton of football at both left tackle and left guard, and also slotted inside to play some center at the Senior Bowl. Battled injuries throughout his career. Battled injuries. And that is something to be a little bit concerned about. But then again, you also think of the greatest offensive lineman of all time battled injuries throughout his college career. And I don't think really was hurt at all in his NFL career. So that really can not mean anything. Hello to your wife or goodbye to your wife. I don't know. I saw you waving. So
yeah, she just got him.
Oh, does she not have any takes on day three of the NFL draft?
Hey, do you have any takes on day three in the NFL draft? Me? Sam's not going to watch day three.
Okay. Is she even going to watch day one?
Well, yeah, because, well, no, it depends if I'll probably be out of the house for day one, I would assume. Okay. So,
but Jalen Rivers
about going over to Dickman's.
Oh, there you go. Graded as a 78.8 pass blocker last season.
Mm-hmm. So he at only least one had sack given up.
There. But the injuries are the concern with Jalen Rivers, yep. But that top 30 visit means something.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely does mean something. Yeah, and the numbers are there. They're pretty good. Like you said, 78.8 pass block, 65.8 run block. So it's not terrible, not great. Only one sack given up. But yeah, the injuries are definitely a concern. It looked like he played a full season in 2023, though. So he has a full season on his books. So yeah.
Who's your next guy?
I believe this guy's. I would be surprised if he hasn't met with the Bengals yet. Local guy, Luke Kandra, out of UC.
I have him on mine as well. There's our overlap.
There we go. We got one guy in overlap. So he played high school football at Elder, and the Kandra family. Just to give a little bit of a background here, his brother Evan played Division II football at Thomas More. His next oldest brother played defensive line at Mount St. Joe's. In 2024 at UC, he was a second-team All-American, first-team All-Big 12, and was a team captain. Led all players in the combine at the bench press, 33 bench press reps. And yeah, the grading is pretty damn good as well. 84.1 pass block grade, gave up zero sacks and only eight pressures in 2024, and also had a 74.3 run block grade.
Yeah, the Elder thing is interesting. I mean, we both know somebody who went to Elder pretty well.
He's a real piece of piece of garbage, isn't he?
I just hope that's the downside of Elder, and Luke Kandra's like the crown jewel, and that's just the bottom tier when it comes to Elder. So I'm just waiting on that. We're about to get a comment in 10, 9.
He already has a comment on Kandra.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did a little bit earlier. Two-time second-team All-American. Graded well. You mentioned that. Been on a visit too with the Bengals. They have done that because he was at their local day a little bit earlier this week. My final guard is, there it is. There it is. He says, you can attest the quality of that family. All great people, all massive and athletic. Hayden Connor.
Okay. The next one I wanted to drop. On my list here.
Left guard from Texas. Started every game at left guard for Texas for the last 3 years. Last season graded as an 85.4 pass blocker. Again, as I always say, in the SEC. Now, he's not a great athlete, not overpowering by any stretch, but when you flip on some of the tape reading into this, maybe his best game all season was played against a guy by the name of Mason Graham. You may have heard of him. Pretty much shut him down, made him a non-factor when they played. Hayden Connor, a left guard from Texas, is at least somebody that I'm keeping an eye on for the Bengals.
All right. I missed a tackle. If I can go back to a tackle here.
You're fired.
It was a matter of time. Logan Brown, offensive tackle out of Kansas. He's pretty high up on Goodberry's board, but he's not as high on the consensus board. I think right now on the consensus board, he's like a fifth-round prospect. But in 2024 at Kansas, he was second team All Big 12. One of just six players at the combine with a wingspan of at least 84 inches. Now he's kind of a project as well. He's only had 14 career starts, but the grading was really good last year. 78 pass block grade. He didn't give up a single sack in his entire collegiate career, not one. Now, the lack of snaps might be a byproduct of that. I'm not sure. Or that might be a byproduct of the lack of snaps, I guess, is what I was trying to say. That also had an 82.2 run block grade. So Logan Brown's the guy, I think.
One thing with him, he was dismissed and kicked out of Wisconsin. Dismissed from the program, and that's never popped out as to why. Why is obviously a little important when, and hopefully the teams will do their due diligence when it comes to that. Are you out of guards, or do you got any more?
Let me see. Got a couple centers, believe it or not.
Okay, drop them in.
I guess in the off chance that they move Ted Karras into guard, but I've got Jake Majors, center out of Texas. Posted the fastest speed in the offensive line screen drill, 15.99 miles per hour. Started 57 consecutive games at center. He was flagged 20 times in his career, including five times in 2024 with three false starts, one hold, and one illegal snap. He is an exclusively center guy. So if they draft him, they're pretty much going to have him and Matt Lee battle it out and move Ted Karras to guard, presumably. But the grading was pretty good. 85.4 pass block grade in 2024. Zero sacks given up in each of the past 2 years. And a 68.2 run block grade as well.
We going to get an Eli Cox mention here?
No.
Oh.
Drew Kendall, center out of Boston College, first team All ACC in 2024.
Is that Matt's brother?
Who's Matt Kendall? I don't even know who that is.
Matt Kendall, Riley's sister's boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot what Matt's last name was.
Matt gets a shout out on the Bengals podcast and Mick doesn't even remember who he is. Such a sad fact. Boston College. In fact, I think he beat your butt too. Maybe that's why.
No, he won by a touchdown. Just like you beat my butt in college football.
I did. No matter if you won 1 or 60, they all count the same.
Jesus. He comes from a football family. His dad, Pete, was an All-American offensive lineman at Boston College. Was also a first-round pick in the 1996 draft. He was drafted by the Seahawks. Also played for the Cardinals, Jets, and the Redskins, or formerly Redskins, I guess just Washington now. Played 13 years in the NFL. Like I said, he's voted a team captain in 2024. Coaches really raved about his character. Started 37 games the past three seasons, including 31 straight starts. So has a level of reliability there. We don't know what his prospects are in terms of if he could be a little more versatile. He was also a center only prospect in college, but posted an 81.5 pass block grade, a 75.9 run block grade, and only gave up 5 pressures in 2024. And I know it's ACC, but that's not a terrible conference to only give up 5 pressures.
I mean, it's borderline FCS, but yeah, it won't do. I say that as a, I mean, the ACC last year was trash. That's more just factual, but that's still really good. Is it time to jump over to some defense?
Yes.
Woo! Halfway home here as we're continuing to jump on. Thank you for joining us though for today's show. We invite you to on Sunday. We're going to be live streaming. Mick and I are going to be doing a Bengals mock draft. So we're going to be mocking the entirety of what we're going to project. Mick is actually going to list off 256 picks in a row.
I do a mock with 256 picks.
Maybe you should post it. You should post it on the Jungle Juice page.
Working on it right. Riley already talked about Jack Nelson. You missed it.
Yes.
Damn it, Riley.
Yeah, maybe we'll post Mick's full mock. We'll post our mocks as well. We'll do that. And then a week from today, we're going to invite on our good friends Alex Schubert and Tommy Lipscomb, and we're going to be doing a full first round mock draft. So we invite you to join us then live here on the Jungle Juice page. First edge rusher I want to talk about is a guy I really like. He kind of excites me. And you know how I feel about the FCS guys.
We got an FCS. Is this David Walker?
Yeah, David Walker.
Okay. I don't have any edges on my list. I guess I have one, I guess.
Okay, I've got a couple. I got a couple here, including I got a couple that I really like. David Walker, edge from Central Arkansas, 3-time All-American at the FCS level. 33.8% of his career tackles were in the backfield. So he got to the passer. And he also can drop back into coverage some. He would do that at Central Arkansas. Now, he's not a big guy. 6'1", 263. Now, we saw for Lou Anarumo, he would not be interested in a guy like this because he wanted the larger framed edge rushers. Now, what does Al Golden want? Only time will tell. Like, we don't really know there. Dane Brugler, though, his comp. You ready for this? How about Carl Lawson?
Okay.
So that's kind of the question of maybe a guy that might take a year or two.
He's got a very similar build to Carl Lawson. He does. 6'2", 260.
And if my memory's right, wasn't Carl Lawson a fourth round pick too?
He was.
I believe he was.
I think David Walker might be sneaked in as a third round pick.
Though. And he might be a late. He might be a late third. Since you don't have any other edge.
I have one edge.
Okay. What school is he from or what conference? Let's see if we might have a crossover.
ACC.
Okay. Virginia Tech?
No.
Okay.
Do you have anus pebbles?
No.
You okay, so let's is it Antoine Powell?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start with Kyle Kennard, though, from South Carolina. Want to touch on him? I mean, he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Dane Brugler has been projected as a fourth-round pick.
Dane Brugler and the consensus board are way off on one another.
But still, okay. Regardless, it doesn't particularly matter here. Tom Jones writes in here and says Malik Wright is saying the Bengals front office picked up the phone today on Reisner. Interesting. Dalton Reisner. I didn't hear that, but that would be...
I'd be okay with that. I wanted them to sign him like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whenever he went to the Vikings.
Kyle Kinnard, though, 11.5 sacks, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, not a great run defender, so he probably fits right in on the Bengals defensive line. Elijah Roberts and Antoine Powell-Ryland were the two
names. Okay, I have Elijah Roberts on.
Let's go Antoine Powell-Ryland, and then we'll finish with Elijah Roberts. How's that sound?
Okay.
So Antoine Powell-Ryland is a defensive end from Virginia Tech. When you look at him pass rushing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Checks
numbers
out.
Are there.
16 sacks last year. 9.5 the year before. That is production. Forced 9 fumbles in his career. I like that. Known for a really good spin move as well. But, you know, Joe Goodberry, who I'd like to say is a friend of the program, but he doesn't know we exist, Mick.
We're a friend of Joe Rogan. Or with Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. No, we're not.
Joe Goodberry.
Joe Goodberry, yeah. I really highly recommend Joe Goodberry as a follow on the old Twitter sphere. He ranks Antoine Powell-Ryland as his 8th best edge rusher, though. Ahead of JT Tuimaloa. Ahead of Jalen Walker. Ahead of Nick Scorton. And ahead of Jack Sawyer. So Joe Goodberry really high on Antoine Powell-Ryland. And it's tough to disagree when you see 16 sacks a year ago, even if it is the ACC. That's a lot of sacks. A lot of sacks. I'll let you take the cake, though, on Elijah Roberts, who's kind of a tweener guy from SMU.
Yeah, so Elijah Roberts, right now he is projected to be a 5-tech at the NFL level, so more like a 3-4 defensive end. But I think could definitely play as a 4-3 edge rusher, given his length. But SMU, he was an honorable mention, all ACC. Oh, no, my bad. It says all AAC on here, but I think it's meant to be all AC.
Well, he was the AAC the year before, so maybe that's what it was.
Anyways, led the team in sacks. He's a team captain. 17.5 sacks over the past couple of years. The descriptions on how he plays from Dane Brugler: plays with brute strength and force in his hands to jar contact. Has above average run awareness and quickly reads blocking schemes. So we're having more of that run defending edge that we've been kind of missing for the past couple of years. But the grading was really good last year. 90.7 pass rush grade. That was good for 13th amongst edge rushers in college football. 9.7% pressure rate. That's in the top 40. 22% pass rush win rate. That ranked 10th. And his run defensive grade of numbers were good. 81.3 run defensive grade. That's in the top 40. His missed tackle rate could definitely use a little bit of work, around 11.5%, and has a good run stop rate at 8.5%.
This is the stat here, too, and you kind of touched on this. In the last two seasons combined, 131 combined pressures and 17.5 sacks. That's a lot.
Gets after it.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I've got a couple of guys to shift inside. Here.
Okay, I've got
interior
a few.
defensive lineman, and I'll let you go first.
Oh shit! Okay.
Or did you want me to go first?
No. Okay, I've got my first guy. I've got Vernon Broughton. He's a 3-tech defensive tackle out of Texas. Was pretty much the Byron Murphy replacement, I think, this year. Had 4 sacks in 2024. He's got impressive size. Dane Brugler likes to say that he needs an entire measuring tape to measure his dimensions. He's also described as a violent finisher when he gets his hands on the ball carrier. The stats last year: 32 pressures, 4 sacks, 2 QB hits. Pass rush grade was pretty good. 86.3 pass rush grade, ranked 13th amongst interior defensive linemen with a 13% pass rush win rate. Had a 5.4% pressure rate, which could have been a little bit better, but the pass rush win rate kind of makes up for that. It was also good in run defense, a 79 run defensive grade. He does have a high missed tackle rate at 16.7%, but a good run stop rate at 7.6%.
And congratulations to him. He's expecting his first kid next month. So that'd be a pretty good couple of weeks there to get drafted into the NFL and have your first child. It's a pretty good couple of weeks. I'm going to go to Tennessee. for my first one, and there's a main reason as to why. It's not necessarily a guy I'd love, but again, top 30 visit with
is
the Cincinnati
Omar
Bengals.
Omar Norton Lott or Norman
it
Lott?
It is Omar Norman Lott. Now, this is not Sam Gormley saying that the Bengals should look at Omar Norman Lott. This is the Cincinnati Bengals clearly see something in him. I mean, the numbers are kind of there. Finished second on the team in pressures, but only averaged 17.3 snaps per game. That's nothing in all seriousness, like at all. They really made him a part-time player. Now, the huge red flag, and this is big, 33. Again, I said 33% missed tackle rate. That's incredibly high.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, and 12 flags in 2 years. Now, to me, one of those, maybe you could say a little bit lower, like as far as the missed tackle rate, since he isn't playing a lot, that could mean that it's a smaller sample size for that. But then if you take that with the other aspect of that and say, well, that's a smaller sample size to only have 12 flags called against you in that aspect. That's where I don't necessarily know that I love this for the Bengals. But this also could be one of those aspects that the Bengals are wanting to talk to this guy because they're seeing some of the flashes on tape from him because it's clearly there, second on the team in pressures for Tennessee. And you're just trying to see how he's wired into why these penalties are becoming an aspect.
Yeah. Actually, on the consensus board, they have him at number 83.
Really?
So right now, at least on the consensus board, they're viewing him as a third-round draft pick.
Interesting, because I've seen him fluctuated even from fourth to fifth as well at times.
Really?
Okay. Who's your next defensive tackle?
Sorry, I was looking up at... okay, we got him. Howard Cross III, retech out of Notre Dame. So So we got our first Notre Dame guy out of our list here. His father played tight end for Alabama, was inducted into the Alabama Hall of Fame in 2010. He was also a six-round draft pick in the 1989 draft and spent a 13-year career with the New York Giants and is a Super Bowl champion. In 2024, Howard Cross III was a second-team All-American, missed three games with a left ankle injury, was also voted as a team captain. In 2024, he had 22 pressures, four sacks, one QB hit, 75.6 pass rush grade, 4.3% pressure rate, 9.3% pass rush win rate. All of those are in the top half of the league amongst interior defensive linemen. 66.7 run defensive grade, which isn't terrible, but not great. And his missed tackle rates was at a minimum in 2024, around 4.8%. So that's toward the top end of the league. But only had a 4.2% run stop rate.
My next guy, I'm going to shift inside again and go to Indiana. CJ West.
Okay, nose tackle, right?
Yes. Now, why he's on my list is the Bengals had a representative at his pro day. So they were watching him. Really, he is a nose tackle. Like he is kind of your Slayton, you know, TJ Slayton, who they got, where he's not necessarily going to be there to rush the passer. But he was the catalyst on a really good Indiana defense last year. You're looking at the run defending grade in the Big Ten, which I think means more because the Big Ten has more run first teams. 88.1 graded run defender. That'll get it done as far as a nose tackle coming. And they compare him to Puna Ford, who was a guy that I kind of wanted the Bengals to go after in free agency this year to add some more depth into that interior defensive line. Now, I don't know that they'll add another nose tackle because I think they're hoping that McKinley Jackson takes another step. And also you have Slayton in there as well. But if they do, CJ West is at least a guy that they're keeping an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, the grading was pretty good last year, especially in run defense. The only issue I might have with them is that if he wants to be a nose, I think he needs to add a little more bulk to his frame. He's only 6'2", 317 pounds. I mean, that's like borderline three tech size, in my opinion. But other than that, I think he's a really good prospect.
Do you have any more?
Interior defensive line, no.
I am stunned that you didn't go to Georgia Tech. Stunned.
For Zeke?
I thought you just wanted to talk about Zeke Biggers for maybe the best name
in the NFL. No, that's Schubert. That's Schubert's take.
Okay. Zeke Biggers. Just a shout out to Zeke Biggers, because what a name. What a name. Zeke Biggers. Number 88, too. Are you okay with that, a defensive lineman being number 88?
Yeah, that's a cool number for a defensive tackle.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I just wanted to make sure we give him a shout out. Let's hop up a little bit. Let's head to some linebackers.
Okay.
I'll let you take the cake with your first one.
All right. Well, let's just go ahead and get him out of the way, Sam.
You going to Notre Dame?
We're going back to Notre Dame. We're going to go Jack Kaiser, the linebacker out of Notre Dame. 2024, he led his team in tackles, was also a team captain. NFL GM quotes, sometimes you interview a kid and he is exactly what you expected. That's Jack, an A-plus human. So, seems like a culture fit for the Bengals. Also played a lot of special teams, 979 career special team snaps, playing on punt coverages all six seasons. The stats, 86.8 run defensive grade and only a 4.6% missed tackle rate. So, if you're leading the team in tackles and only have a 4.6% missed tackle rate, you're a sure tackler, in my opinion there. So, and also a 9.1% run stop rate, which is good. The coverage grade leads a little to be desired there. It's a 62.9 coverage grade. It's not great. Only forced about a 5% missed incompletion rate and allowed a 101.9 passer rating while targeted.
One thing I love about Jack Kaiser is in high school, you know, he played some linebacker on defense, but you know what his offensive position was? He was not only a quarterback, but he was a wing T quarterback.
Oh God.
And I'm just like, hell yeah. That's my kind of guy right there.
That's
the quarterback of a wing T offense, ranked as the best linebacker at the Senior Bowl as well. I like that. I like that. A wing T quarterback. That's my kind of linebacker. Give him a neck roll, throw him out there, and he's ready to go in the AFC North. He'll fit right in. I'm going to go to Ohio State for my next linebacker.
This is Jack Sanborn.
For Cody Simon.
Cody Simon.
Linebacker from Ohio State. He was the MVP of the national title game on defense. This is a huge, huge green flag for him. He played nearly 1,900 career snaps. He had zero penalties in his career. Zero. Not one. That's pretty impressive. I love they talked to Jim Knowles, who was his defensive coordinator, and he described him as the future president of the United States.
Okay.
Which I think that would be somebody that Zach Taylor would probably like to add to his team, mm-hmm. as far as a high character, good leader, probably a good communicator as well for the defense. Now, the biggest thing with Cody Simon, it's probably what you're going to bring up, is coverage is the question with him.
Yeah.
But still, you're seeing some of those other things that are check marks for, you know, your day three linebacker.
And it's not even that much of a question, honestly. A 72.7 coverage grade's good. Like, it's a good coverage grade. It's not bad. Also, it seems like a blitz package specialist at the linebacker position. 87 pass rush snaps from the linebacker and had 8 sacks in 2024, which is a crazy number. Not sure if that would be a thing that translates into the NFL or if that's just a Jim Knowles specialty. But I mean, that's definitely something to note of with Cody Simon.
You got another one to drop. I got one more.
I do have one. I've got Kobe King, linebacker out of Penn State. Twin brother, Kalen King. We talked about him, I think, last year. Maybe he was drafted in the 2024 draft by the Green Bay Packers ultimately. Some of the stats that he had out for 2024, he was second team All Big Ten and a team captain. 89.2 run defensive grade, 11.8% missed tackle rate, so could use a little bit of work there. 8.8% run stop rate, which is good. Was decent in coverage with 65.4 coverage grade, but only a 3% forced incompletion rate and a 126.3 pass rating while targeted. So the coverage numbers definitely could use some work, but the run defensive grade is good enough, in my opinion, to take a look at him.
I'm going to go to the, and this is disgusting for me to even say this, the ACC for my last linebacker. and the ever popular ACC school of California.
Oh, Teddy.
Teddy Buchanan.
Teddy.
It's Teddy. Yeah.
Okay.
Teddy Buchanan, linebacker from the ACC, California. Again, disgusting. I'll never get used to saying that. Led the Bears in tackles and tackles for a loss. Now, the biggest thing with him is that he transferred from UC Davis, so played primarily at the lower levels and only had 1 year in Berkeley. So kind of the question is was he a one-hit wonder? Is he a guy that you can rely on? But we mentioned Joe Goodberry earlier. He loves Teddy Buchanan to the point where he has him as his second linebacker in the class, number two, behind only Jihad Campbell. Loves him some Teddy Buchanan. Now, the last time Joe Goodberry was around this high on a linebacker that might have been classified as third, fourth, fifth round guy, Logan Wilson. And I'd say that turned out pretty good for the Bengals. So maybe we could see Goodberry hitting on another one for Teddy Buchanan.
Also another kind of a pass rush specialist to an extent here. 97 pass rush snaps from the linebacker position. So blitzed 97 times and had six sacks in 2024 with California.
12 tackles for a loss. First team all ACC. And I mean, he was good as a at UC Davis as well. Second team all Big Sky his last year there. 8 interceptions at the FCS level. But it's spelled Riley is spelled T-E-D-D-Y-E. So it's Teddy with a E on the end of it. I don't, like, do we need the E? I don't know if there's some reason. Spelling. It's a what?
It's a unique spelling.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what word I thought you said. I was like, what? What? Is this a what spelling? But yes, it is a unique spelling. Let's jump outside to some corners.
All right. Let's see who we got here. Let's just get him out of the way because I really like his tape and I'm kind of throwing up in my mouth while I'm saying it. Upside Stout.
Oh, boy. Back
out of Western Kentucky. Oh, Jesus.
Let's go. Woo. Got my red towel. Listen up. While you're talking about
I'm thoroughly convinced that Upside Stout's really just Mike Hilton. I see so much Mike Hilton in Upton Stout's tape. It's not even funny. I don't know if it's because he also wore number 21 or not, but I'm just seeing him on slot quarter blitzes on all these highlight reels. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Mike Hilton. Like, it's awesome. So yeah, 2023, at WKU, led his team in pass defenses and also a 50-yard interception return for a touchdown. He led his team in pass defenses in 2023, and that's with missing six games. So that's a crazy mark to have if you're leading your team in that category and missing half the season. 2024, Western Kentucky, first team All-Conference USA, did miss two games, but he plays with such a competitive play style, has a lot of special teams experience on both kick returns and punt returns, has experience both lining up inside and outside, transitioned to slot corner in 2024, and I think it went all the better for him. Ranked number 5 in run defensive grade amongst defensive backs, only a 4.7% missed tackle rate, had a good run-stop rate also at 4.7%. Coverage grade was also decent, 78.3 coverage grade, 6% forced incompletion rate, and a 96 passer rating while targeted.
Can we get it now? Can we get a T-O-P-S, tops.
No.
Or start singing the fight song here. What if we get Mike Green in the first round and Upton Stout on day 3?
We're both happy. That would be cool. Yeah, that would be
cool. Listen, if that happens, then you have to get a Mike Green jersey and I have to get an Upton Stout jersey.
That's fine. We'll make it happen. There's a good chance that might end up happening,
too. It's possible. So with Upton Stout, too, he started his career at North Texas. He can fly.
Yes.
He was rated as the fastest defensive back mile per hour wise at the combine. Flew in his 40-yard time. Biggest thing too with Upton Stout, and I can say this for those who don't know, I'm a Western alum, used to cover them for the team, so I've got some connections still with them. And he had a solid NIL offer from Michigan prior to last season because he entered the portal. And he was about that close to taking it and probably would have, except Jim Harbaugh left. And that's what led him back to WKU. And I know that it was a substantial offer, upwards of six. It was well beyond six figures in that realm. And he turned it down, came back to Bowling Green and had a really solid season. So Upton Stout is a guy there and definitely gonna flash the red towel there for some tops there. So for those of you that also want to talk about guys from your school, Ohio State, Denzel Burke is an interesting guy. I'm just because when you're getting into day three corners, they're going to have warts. Because if they didn't have warts, they wouldn't be a day three guy. For one interesting fact about him, his parents are from Panama. So he's got Panamanian, I think is how you say it. I think the way to say it, background. He was great. He was a freshman All-American, second team All-American in 2023. Ton of starts, 51 career starts for Ohio State. A lot of experience there. Not great speed. That's really what's necessarily holding him back. Doesn't play the fastest as a corner. He got cooked by Oregon when they played in the regular season. 40% of the receiving yards he allowed all of last year came in that one game. In that one game. But Denzel Burke is at least a guy that, the Bengals love their Ohio State guys. Could be a guy in day three that you could see maybe slot into that cornerback role as well, getting in there to add some depth into the back end. I got one more corner. I don't know if you have any more.
I mean, I've got a lot of defensive backs, but we're kind of running out of time. So I'll throw one more nickelback at you, really he's kind of a hybrid nickelback safety. And if Riley's still on, he's going to love it. So Malachi Moore, safety / nickelback out of Alabama. 2024, he was a second-team All-American, first-team All-SEC, led team in forced fumbles and pass defenses, had seven career interceptions in college, versatile experience playing both safety and nickelback. He played more of the safety role in 2024. He was a two-time team captain. The stats in 2024, 75.5 run defensive grade, had a good missed tackle rate, right around 6.5%. Not a great run stop rate, 2.7% run stop rate. So he's definitely more of that coverage kind of nickelback or safety, whatever position you prefer to have him play. The coverage grading was really good, though. 89.4 coverage grade, ranked 20th in all of college football. A great forced incompletion rate at 23%. Over a quarter of passes thrown his way, he's forcing an incompletion on. And also a 51 passer rating while targeted. So that's Malachi Moore.
Zay Frazier is another guy I want to mention. He's your corner from UTSA. You're betting on traits with him because he's got great speed. Runs a 4.36 40. Last year ranked second in FBS with 6 interceptions. He's one of your day three guys that you're hoping you can develop into the back end of your cornerback rotation. My next two guys, I have only two left, and they're both safeties traditionally there. So I'll let you throw a couple of guys out there, and hopefully
I've got
get through this here.
Yeah, I'll do two safeties as well. Also, just a note, Zay Frazier, 6 interceptions last year.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
37.7 passer rating. Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's ranked second in the FBS.
Yeah, that's good. I got a thumper from Ohio State. That's Lathan Ransom, safety out of Ohio State. Last year, he's second team All-American, first team All-Big Ten. Led the team in forced fumbles. Also had a 27-yard fumble return for a touchdown. But yeah, he looks like an absolute thumper on the field. He plays with great energy. Thing of note, he has missed at least one game in each of the past 4 seasons, including 2 major injuries. Lance Frank injury to his left foot in October 2023 that sidelined him for the remainder of the 2023 season. And also broke his tibia in his left leg in 2022, which he didn't miss as many games because it was towards the end of that season. But the run defensive grading, he is the number one rated safety in run defense. The missed tackle rate could use some work. It is around 12%. That is a little high. But I think it's because he literally tries to torpedo himself literally at everybody when he's looking at ball carriers. Good run stop rate, 5.3% run stop rate. Coverage grade isn't great. It's not terrible, but it's at a 66.5. 10% forcing completion rate and 95.4 pass rating while targeted. But Lathan Ramson right now is being tabbed as, I believe, a fourth rounder in the draft this year.
Marquise Siegel from Kansas State.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever heard of that guy.
Interesting. The name is not spelled that way, so that might be why. Maybe you're thinking it's just it's pronounced a different way, and that might be why.
How do you spell it?
I wrote it as is phonetically on my sheet here. I think it's S-I-G-L-E, maybe, is how you spell his last name. I'm going to have to look here at the list here I'm talking about it. From Kansas State. Is that how you spell it, S-I-G-L-E?
Yes.
Okay, Siegel from Kansas State. He had the fastest burst amongst defensive backs at the Combine by hitting 15 miles per hour at 5 yards. That's wild. Like, the dude can fly. Didn't commit a coverage penalty last year. Graded pretty good against the run. He's probably a developmental guy that you're going to throw into the back end of that safety room, but Marquise Siegel is at least a name to keep an eye on there.
My last guy, and man, running out of energy here at this point.
good, because I have one left too.
Okay, good. We'll go back to the Big Ten.
Another thumper
at safety, Hunter Wohler.
Oh, we got the same guy. Look at that. Only one guy left. Look at us go. Look at us go.
That's called efficiency.
Look at us go.
So in 2023, he was the third team All Big Ten, led the team in tackles. He's an honorable mention All Big Ten in 2024, also led the team in tackles that year. Dude is a thumper. If you're looking at the tape, again, kind of along the same lines of a Lathan Ramsom in that category, probably more of a strong safety guy, also very experienced on special team coverages, and also averaged 9 yards per return as a backup punt returner. So he has a little bit of returning experience there. His 120 tackles in 2023 were the most by Wisconsin defensive back since 1991. Did have some injury history, though. He did have a broken left fibula that he suffered in at the very beginning of 2022. Missed about 2 months. So there is a little bit of an injury history. But the run defensive grade's good. It's the 74.8 run defensive grade, 4.8% run stop rate. Again, like a Lathan Ramsom, needs to work on the missed tackling, probably, again, from torpedoing himself at guys, 12.3% missed tackle rate. In coverage, decent, 67.6 coverage grade, and really good in forcing incompletions, though. 26% of passes thrown his way were forced incomplete by Hunter Wohler. That is good for 15th amongst safeties in all of college football. But it's kind of a boom or bust with the coverage, because he's either going for an incompletion or he's given up a big play to a wide receiver, which kind of resulted in 117 passer rating while targeted.
It's less than ideal. Less than ideal. But you mentioned the tackle numbers are insane for a safety. Nearly 200 combined tackles in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an insane number for that. We mentioned Joe Goodberry. His formula has him as the number two safety in the class.
Where do number I have two, him on mine? Let's
trailing see. Only Nick Imanori. Has him ahead of Xavier Watts, ahead of Malachi Starks, ahead of Kevin Winston Jr.
I have him at sixth.
So he's very high. I mean, Dane Brugler has him at 14th. So you're seeing kind of the range of where Hunter Wohler can potentially be thrown in. But he is definitely a fascinating guy. So there we go. You didn't put a kicker or a putter or a long snapper to go.
Do you want to talk about Graham Nicholson for a second? I don't really have any stats on him. Was he any good? That's really
Who is Graham Nicholson?
He's the one that the Bengals have met with. They have met with the kicker, believe it or not.
From Alabama.
From Alabama. 8 of 10 field goals.
Yeah, he was Alabama.
He looks like a practice squad body, if I'm going to be honest with you.
He'll be a guy to go in there and make sure that Evan McPherson is somebody to compete with.
He is from Miami of Ohio, though. He transferred to Alabama.
Yes, yes, because that's right. This is the guy that had the whole controversy where Chuck Martin, I believe that's Miami, Ohio's football coach's mm-hmm. name, he went on the rant about how Alabama came in and bought his kicker and took him away. and it's funny because the radio guy from Miami, Ohio is interviewing him at the time, and you could tell he's like, "Coach, do you really want to be saying this?" And he's like, "Yes, I want to be saying this. This is crap." Like, going on this rant. And so yeah, Graham Nicholson is at the center of that. That's right. I'd forgotten about that. Good pull on there. So yeah. I mean, the punter, you have your guy. Rico. He was great. Cal Adamitis was re-signed. Evan McPherson is going to be your kicker next year, barring something drastic happening.
Yes.
I just can't imagine that. They're probably going to be a body in there to compete with him, but they can't get rid of him because they've spent too much money into keeping him. So that's just the aspect of that. Okay. Those are the day three guys.
We rattled off a lot of names there.
We did. And we did it. And I think all things considered, pretty relatively efficient timing as well. Yeah. So to look ahead on Sunday, if you want to join us live, we are going to have our Bengals mock draft. We'll have a 7-round mock. And we will probably add a 7th-round pick just for fun. We know that the Bengals probably aren't going to be drafting in the 7th round, but we'll probably have it in there anyways of who they potentially could if that pick does drop in there. And then 1 week from tonight, Wednesday the 23rd, we will have our first round mock draft where we will be mocking the entirety of the first round. We'll randomly be given teams and we're going to go through that. I thought it was a lot of fun last year and we'll do that again. And then Sunday the 27th, we'll be on to recap the draft and who the Bengals add, who we like, who we didn't like, give out some draft grades and so on with that. All righty. We've done it, right?
We did it. This is the most work we have to put in for a show, I think.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. I spent a couple hours on work at least doing this over these past couple of days and combining it in there. Thank goodness for the Beast and thank goodness for like Joe Goodberry's work and some of the other work, PFF.
Yeah.
Without them, we would not be able to do this. No. Without them, we would not be able to do this. We invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure to drop by and give us a 5-star rating there. The best place for this show to be spread out and more people to find us that way. Any parting thoughts?
No. Got the draft coming up in a week. Can't wait for that. Please tune in on Sunday.
Yeah, and next Wednesday. We're a week away. I mean, the draft is
a week tomorrow. And then we'll have our next favorite show of the year, which is trying to predict what the schedule is going to be.
I do love that. It was one of my favorite things we did last year, and we were right on a couple of them. Who knows where the Bengals could... You got a prediction for game one yet? I don't.
No, not yet.
Are the
Reds at home or away?
They're away. No, they're home. They're home week one.
Okay,
so home week one.
We're going to have an away game week one.
Or Monday night home game?
No. I don't think we're lucky enough for that.
You never really know. We invite you to join us, though, for all of those shows and do it from that way. But until then, Mick, hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.